Okay, good morning, everybody.
Okay, good morning. This week's shiur, the weekly shiur from Masechta Sukkah, is sponsored by Yitzweiss CPA, branch out a new direction this next tax season. Actually, this tax season, we're in tax season. Breakfast is sponsored by Bagel Mind, Shulio, Nishmas, Shimon, Ben Zev, and Fega Bas Chaim. And
And
we.
by Erez Naftali, Leilu Nishmas, my father, Lava Shalom, Avram Shaul ben Shulamit Salma.
Okay, and we are doing Sukkah, the Neshama Shavanuliyah. We're doing Sukkah Daf Nun Aleph. We are at three words from the bottom, Nun Amid Beis. We had been talking about, if you recall, the Machlokas about whether Ikar Shira Bepeh or Ikar Shira Bekli. When they did the Shira, when the Levium did the Shira in the Beis HaMikdash, was the main part of the song the Kli, the fact that they blew these instruments, these flutes, etc., or was the main part of the Shira their singing? And just something to keep in mind as we go through Nun Aleph, we said on Nun Amid Beis, on the tzad that Ikar Shira B'Kli, assuming that the main function of the song that was in the Beis Mikdash was on the Kli, so then Ikar Shira B'Kli Va'avodahi. The Gemara seems to be assuming that if you say that the Kli was the main part of the Shir, that the Kli was the most operative part, then that's a formal part of the Avoda. Whereas if there was no actual instrument involved, it was just voices, so then it's hard to imagine voices being part of the Avoda. Avoda involves some kind of thing, some kind of instrument, some kind of Kli Sharis. So if you say Ikar Shira B'Kli, that the instrument was an integral part of it, so then it's a formal part of the avoda. Whereas if you say it was just vocalizing, so then it wasn't a formal part of the avoda, it was an accompaniment to the avoda. That's going to be an important point as we go through Nun Aleph. The other important point to remember is that we quoted Rav Yossi as saying that this machlokes about whether the important part is the kli, is the actual musical instrument, or just the vocalization, that was a machlokes when it came to the regular avoda during the year. But when it came to the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, this is Simcha Yisera, the joyousness that we're going to talk about in the Mishnah that we're going to hit on Nun Aleph, the extra level of Simcha. So there, everyone agrees that Ikar Shira BePeh, not BeKli, it can't be Doche Shabbos and Yontif, etc. Right? And that was also, let's remind ourselves, that was part and parcel of that Machlokes of whether it's Doche Shabbos. Right? If you say Ikar Shira B'Kli, that the instruments were an integral part of the Shira, so then Shira is part of the Avoda, and using those instruments is going to be Docha Shabbos, you're going to do it even on Shabbos. Whereas if you say that the instruments were just an accompaniment, but the main thing was the vocalization, so then the instruments are not going to be Docha Shabbos. Fine. That was the Machlokes that we dealt with on Nun Amid Beis, and now the Gemara is going to pick up and suggest, quote Rav Papa, as suggesting that this issue of whether the main avoda is the kli or the vocalization is itself a machlokas tanai. Amar of Papa. So Rav Papa suggests, which brings us up to the very first word on Nun Aleph, Amin Aleph, kitanai. As Rashi points out, ikar shir bepeh u bekli, this issue that we're dealing with of whether the vocalization or the instrumentation is the main part, That itself is embedded in a machlokas tanaim, is tied up in a machlokas tanaim. As we see the following, the tanaim, and it quotes a Mishnah from Erechin, Avdei Kohanim Ayu. This Mishnah in Erechin is talking about who were the people that were involved in the singing. Who were the people that did the singing, or the instrumentation, whatever it is. So the first opinion is Rabbi Meir. Avdei Kohanim Hayu Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that these were, not only were they not Kohanim, not only were they not Levim, not only were they not Yisraelim, they were the Avadim, they were the slaves of the Kohanim. They were the ones who were doing this musical accompaniment to the Avoda. It was just a little surprising. You think, we always think of the Levim, right? But they were saying it was the slaves. Rav Yossi Amar Omer, Mishpachas Beis HaPagarim, Umishpachas Beis Tzifria Umeamum Hayu Shayumasim Lakuna. So Rav Yossi says it wasn't the slaves quite, but it also wasn't the Levim or the Kohanim. It was these Yisraelim who were known to be Miyuchasim, as Rashi points out. they came from good lineage. We knew without question that these were Jews and that they weren't Mamzerim, they wouldn't have any kind of psul. They were people with good yichus. So they were people from this town in Amos, from these specific families, Mishpachas Beis Sifri and Beis HaPagarim. They were the ones who did the singing. So the first opinion is that it was the slaves. The second opinion was that it was these extra clean Yisraelim with good lineage, where there's no question that they could marry without any problem. And then the third opinion is Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus Omer Levim Hayu. So Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus says that these were actually Levim that did the shir. And Rav Papa suggests the following: My lav b'ha kamiflege. Presumably, they're arguing about the following: Demand diomer avadim hayu. The first opinion, which said that they're slaves, kasavar ikar shira b'peh. They hold that the main thing that was going on there was the vocalization, since, as we said, there was no instrument involved. It wasn't a formal part of the avoda. It was just an accompaniment, and so therefore, it wasn't so important that Levim specifically be doing these things, and even the Avadim could do it, no problem. So that opinion says, Ikar Shira Bepeh. Uman Diomer Levim Hayu, and the third opinion, Rav Chanina ben Antigonus, who said that it was Levim, Kasavar Ikar Shira Bekli. He holds, presumably, that the main thing that was going on here was the instrumentation. Since there were instruments involved, that shows that it was a formal part of the Avoda. And since it was a formal part of the Avoda, it was limited to Levim proper. And so presumably, that's what this Machlokas tracks. According to the first opinion, that it was just mere slaves, so that's Ikar Shira B'Peh. There was no formal Avoda going on here. According to the opinion, that it was the Levim, so it was Ikar Shira B'Kli, because there was an instrument, it was in a formal Avoda, you need Levim to do it. But the Gemara is going to immediately challenge that and say, V'tizbra, if that's true, Rabbi Yossi, my kasavar. How do you explain the three-way machlokes? Meaning, where does Rabbi Yossi fit in here? Rabbi Yossi was the one who said that it wasn't Avadim, and it wasn't Levim, but it was these Yisraelim who were of exceptional lineage, of clean lineage. Why would he hold that? How does that fit into this machlokes if you're saying that the machlokes itself is about the very question of Ikar Shira B'Kli and Ikar Shira B'Peh, and whether this was a formal avoda? If it's right, if he says it's not a formal avoda, so then afilu avadim nami. Why doesn't he agree with the first opinion that says you could even use avadim? And if on the other hand he holds that this is a formal part of the avoda because there's a kli involved, so then levim in Yisraelim lo. So then he should only allow levim in. So what is this? It's hard to understand this three-way machlokas as specifically tracking the machlokas of Ikar Shira B'Kli or Ikar Shira B'Peh. So we're going to come off that understanding and say, rather, Ella D'Kli Alma Ikar Shira B'Peh. Rather, everyone agrees that Ikar Shira B'Peh, this machlokas in Erchin, as to who did the singing and who did the musical accompaniment, is not at all tracked to the machlokas of Ikar Shira B'Peh, Ikar Shira B'Kli. Everyone agrees, all three opinions hold Ikar Shira B'Peh. What are they arguing about then? U'baha kamiflege. They're arguing about the following: Demar Savar Hachi Avamaisa, Umar Savar Hachi Avamaisa. They're simply arguing about the historical reality. Who would typically do this singing or this musical accompaniment? One opinion was that it was the slaves. One opinion was that it was these especially clean Yisraelim with very good yichus, and the third opinion is that it was Levim themselves. The Gemara has a problem with that and says, well, what do you mean? They're arguing about what the historical reality was, who did this. They're just telling the history. L'may nafkamina. What's the nafkamina then? Presumably in a Mishnah, you're having a machlokas that ties to some kind of halachic dispute, not just describing what was the historical reality. So what was the nafkamina? So the Gemara suggests that the nafkamina was the following: L'malin miduchan l'yuchsin u'lemaiser kamiflege. They're arguing about whether you can draw conclusions as to who is kosher in terms of yuchsin, who can marry, and who can eat maiser, rishon, based on who was doing the avoda. This is something that comes up from time to time in Shas. You have it in Ksubas, you have it at other places. A question of, if I see a specific group of people doing a certain part of the avoda, or doing some kind of thing that's reserved for Kohanim or Leviim, I'm going to presumably draw conclusions that these people are kosher to do that, and I'm going to extrapolate from that to other things that they're kosher to do, and sometimes that's going to cause problems. So here, this group of people was doing the musical accompaniment in the Beis HaMikdash. And if I see that this guy, or you know, this group of people is doing the musical accompaniment, I'm gonna conclude that they are kosher for other things. And so the machlokas here is about whether it's appropriate to conclude, or whether one might conclude that they're appropriate for other things just by virtue of them having been the musical accompaniment in the avodah. Let's see specifically what that means. So the first opinion, which said that these were slaves that were doing the musical accompaniment, that view was of the opinion that you're not going to draw any conclusions, or that you shouldn't draw any conclusions from the fact that this group of people was involved in the avodah on some level, right? Even though they weren't the Kohanim actually doing the avodah, they weren't doing the shechita, they weren't doing the Kabbalah Zadam, they weren't doing the Zrika, they weren't doing anything in the Beis HaMikdash of that level, but here they were doing the Shira. You might have thought that that would conclude that you can conclude something about their status. The first opinion says you can't conclude anything about their status, and therefore he would say even the Avadim can do it, because no one's going to draw any conclusions based on who this group of people is. Right? So, you're not going to draw any conclusions. The second opinion, which said that these were specifically people from families of very clean lineage of Yuchsin, so Kasavar Malin Miduchan Yuchsin, they held that you're going to conclude, or you're going to extrapolate from the fact that these people did the Shira, that they are of pretty good lineage, because presumably we wouldn't have let anyone do the Shira in the Beis HaMikdash unless they were clearly Jewish, unless they were clearly able to marry. And so you're going to conclude to Yuchsin, Avalolo Meiser, but you're not going to conclude that those people are able to eat Meiser Rishon. Uman de'amr Leviim hayu, and the third opinion, which said that these were Leviim, kasavar ma'win miduchan ben l'yuchsin ben l'maiser. That opinion said that you can conclude, when you see a group of people singing in the Beis HaMikdash, that these people are bona fide Leviim, and that's why he would restrict them only to Leviim. So it turns out that this machlokas has nothing to do with whether this was a formal part of the avoda. Everyone agrees this wasn't a formal part of the avoda. In theory, even the Avadim could do it, even the Yisraelim Yuchasim could do it, not just the Leviim. But there's a three-way machlokas as to how careful we want to be about selecting the people to do this particular task in the Beis HaMikdash based on the conclusions we're going to reach about their kashrus for other aspects of Jewish life, Yuchsin or Meiser, and depending on whether you apply that. So that's the end of that. We basically reject Rav Papa's suggestion that this machlokas tracks the machlokas of Ikar Shira B'Peh or Ikar Shira B'Klei. Okay, that's we could put a full stop period there. The Gemara now is going to revisit the description of Rav Yosef as to where this machlokas applied. If you remember, Rav Yosef said that the machlokas of Ikar Shira B'Klei or Ikar Shira B'Peh has to do with the general avoda of the karban throughout the year. But when it came to the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, the Simcha Yisera, this extra level of joy, so then everyone agrees that you can't use instruments on Shabbos, it's not Docha Shabbos, because it's Simcha Yisera, it's not a formal part of the Avoda. That was Rav Yosef's opinion. We're going to introduce a different opinion. Rav Yirmiya Bar Abba Amar, just the opposite. He says, Machlokes Bishir Shel Shoeva. The Machlokes is on Simchas Beis HaShoeva, is that the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, as to whether the Ikar Shira is Beklir B'Peh, and whether you can be Docha Shabbos on that basis. The Rabbi Yosef Bar Yehuda Savar Simcha Yisera Nami Docha Shabbos. Rabbi Yosef Bar Yehuda says that even for Simchas Beis HaShoeva, Ikar Shira Bekli, and you can be Docha Shabbos. V'Rabbanan Savri Simcha Yisera Eino Docha Shabbos. The Rabbanan hold that you're not Docha Shabbos on the basis of, or you know, for Simchas Beis HaShoeva. However, Aval Bishir Shel Karban, when it comes to the regular avoda throughout the year attached to the karbanos, divrei hakol avoda hi v'docha es ha-shavos. Everyone agrees that that's a formal part of the avoda, the singing, the instrumentation, etc., and it's docha Shabbos. So we seem to have a machlokas between Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba. Rabbi Yosef says the machlokas is throughout the year, whether the instrumentation does docha Shabbos, ikar shira b'kli, ikar shira b'peh. But everyone agrees that when it comes to Simchas Beis HaShoeva, that's a Simcha Yisera, it's not docha Shabbos. Whereas Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba holds just the opposite. He says the machlokas is at the Shir Shoeva, the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, and it's machlokas as to whether that's docha Shabbos. But everyone agrees that throughout the year, for the actual karban, for the real deal, that's docha Shabbos. And now we're going to try to prove who's right. Meisvei. We have a brace that seems pretty explicit on this point. Shir Shel Shoeva, the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, docha es HaShabbos, divrei Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda, he says that the instrumentation is docha Shabbos for the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. The Chachamim Omrim, af Yom Tov, eino docha. And the Chachamim say it's not docha Shabbos. Not only docha, not docha Shabbos, it's not docha Yom Tov. In other words, for the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, they wouldn't use on Yontif, they wouldn't use the instruments. So that sounds pretty clear that the machlokes pertains to the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, like this latter opinion of Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba against Rav Yossi, right? Rav Yossi was the one who held that the machlokes is all year round, that everyone agrees, Rav Yosef, thank you, that the machlokes is all year round, but everyone agrees that Simchas Beis HaShoeva is not docha. Here's an explicit brisa that says the machlokes pertains to the Simchas Beis HaShoeva specifically. To Yofta, the Rav Yosef, to Yufta. That sounds like it's upschlugging Rav Yosef, and we just brought a proof against him. So the Gemara then says, Lema Bishir Shel Shoeva Hu Depligi. Once we now have this conclusion, or once we have this brisa that points us to the fact that the machlokis is about the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, so Lema Bishir Shel Shoeva Hu Depligi. Aval b'shir shel karban divrei hakol docha es ha-shabbos. The implication is the fact that that machlokes only was attached to the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. The implication is that there's not a machlokes when it comes to the regular karbanos all year long, and that therefore divrei hakol docha es ha-shabbos. And if that's the case, lema te'avei tiyufta de Rav Yosef betarte, it would prove against Rav Yosef on both points. Meaning Rav Yosef, right, there's kind of two things going on here. There's the question of what's the story at the Simchas Beis HaShoeva and what's the story with regular karbanos. So Rabbi Yosef said it's a machlokas by regular karbanos. Everyone agrees that by Simchas Beis HaShoeva it's not a machlokas. Everyone agrees that and it's not a machlokas by Simchas Beis HaShoeva that you don't do, that it's not docha. So we just proved with the Braisa explicitly that it is a machlokas by the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, clearly undermining Rav Yosef's position about the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, that it's not a machlokas. But at first, we didn't have a proof we didn't have a proof against the fact that he held it's a machlokas by the regular karbanos. And now we're trying to say that it's not only, we haven't only undermined his position with respect to the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, but we're also going to try to undermine his position with respect to the Karbanos all year round, because the implication of the Braisa, which said it's Machlokas by Simchas Beis HaShoeva, is that when it comes to regular Karbanos, it's not a Machlokas, it's a Divrei HaKol. So it seems at this point in the Gemara now, we're saying that Rav Yosef was wrong on both those counts. He was wrong about the fact that it's not a machlokas by Simchas Beis HaShoeva, and he was wrong about the fact that it is a machlokas by regular karbanos. So now we back out of them. We say, no, Rav Yosef can answer that easily. Amar Rav Yosef, pligi b'shir shel shoeva. Maybe Rav Yosef says, in fact, that there is a machlokas. I'm sorry, Rav Yosef would concede, okay, the Braisa said it's a machlokas by Shir Shel Shoeva, by the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. But maybe v'hua din l'karban, maybe it's also machlokas by the karban as I, Rav Yosef, hold, right? Rav Yosef holds as a machlokas by the karban. So, v'haydeka mifalge b'shir shoeva, and the only reason why that Braisa just honed in on the machlokas by Shir Shel Shoeva was not to imply that it's not a machlokas by the karban, against my position, but rather Lodiacha Kocha Rav Yosi Bar Yehuda Dafilu Deshoiva Nami Dachi. That it's just going to prove, it's just showing the strength of Rav Yosi Bar Yehuda, that even by Simchas Beis HaShoeva, it's Docha Shabbos, right? But it doesn't prove that it's not a machlokas by a regular korban. And maybe even though I've been proven wrong on the fact that I said that it's not a machlokas on Simchas Beis HaShoeva, maybe I'm still right in saying it is a machlokas by a regular korban. Okay, we're going to try one more attempt at that kind of disproving Rav Yosef entirely. V'chatani zehu chalol shel beis hashoeva she'en adocha losa shabbos losa yom tov. If you look at the Mishnah, the very beginning of the parak, and daf nun amud aleph, it says hachalil chamisha v'shisha zehu hachalil shel beis hashoeva she'en adocha losa shabbos losa yom tov. The Mishnah makes it sound like it's saying this instrument, this chalil specifically of Simchas Beis HaShoeva is the one that's not Docha Yontev and not Docha Shabbos. Right? The Gemara says, Zehu De'eno Docha, aval the Karban Docha. That makes it sound like the instrument of the Karban is Docha Shabbos. Mani, Inei Marab Yosi Bar Yudah Ha'amar Shir Shoshoeva Nami Docha. He holds that even the Shir Simchas Beis HaShoeva is Nami Docha, as we saw in the Breisa. Elav Rabbanan, it must be the Rabbanan, v'tiyufta de Rav Yosef, betarte tiyufta. And the conclusion, therefore, is that we've undermined Rav Yosef's position on both. Meaning, we're saying here that all year round, according to everyone, it is Docha Shabbos, against Rav Yosef, who said that itself was the Machlokas. Okay. That was a little bit kind of meandering, a little confusing, but the bottom line is, we've just proven Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba correct to say that the machlokas of Ikar Shira B'Peh, Ikar Shira B'Peh, B'Kli, which has an implication for whether it's Docha Shabbos, that's only a machlokas when it comes to the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, but everyone would agree that all year round it's an avoda, Ikar Shira B'Kli, and it is Docha Shabbos, which means that all year round there was music in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos. It was just for the Simchas Beis HaShoeva that it's a machlokas as to whether there was musical instrument, actual instrumentation in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. The Gemara now is going to close this up from here to the Mishnah by just trying to find the psukim to prove one way or the other.
Is
yeah.
Implying that Chol HaMoed, the Simchas Beis HaShoeva is more important than Yom Tov?
Chol Moed, I think they would do the instruments. It was just the Yontif that, Yontif that it wasn't. Right.
Between the regular Shabbos and the Yontif of Sukkot.
Right, they're differentiated between regular Shabbos and the Yontif of Sukkot. That's right. Yeah, that's right. Good. So the Gemara says, "My time demand Yom Rikashir B'Klei." Okay, now that we've been through all this, what's the reason, what's the basis for the position that Ikar Shira B'Kli, that the Kli is so important that it's an integral part of the Avodah, it's going to be Docha Shabbos, it's going to be Yom Tov, Docha Yom Tov. We have a pasuk from Divrei Hayamim. Tchsiv Vayomer Chizkiyo La'alos Ha'olah HaMizbeach U'ba'is Hachil Ha'olah Hachil Shir Hashem V'achatzotz Ros V'ayidei Kli David Melech Yisrael. A pasuk that basically says Chizkiyo is talking about the Avodah, and he's talking as an integral part of the Avodah were these Chatzotz Ros, which were a Kli, which were used in the Beis HaMikdash. And so we see there that Ikar Shira B'Kli, that part of the integral part of the Avodah was the use of a Kli. And on the other hand, my time with the Mandi Amar Ikar Shira B'Peh, what was the basis for the Mandi Amar who says that it was the vocalization that was the Ikar, the instruments were not the Ikar, and therefore they're not Docha Shabbos, not Docha Yom Tov, Dechsev, also in Divrei Yamim, Vahi, Divrei Yam Beis, Vahi Ke'echad L'machat Tzatzrim, so another pasuk that makes it sound like it's the mishorim that are the ikar, right? It's singing. Now it's true that this pasuk says l'mechatzotzrim, talking about the chatzotzros, which are clearly a kli. So how does that explain, or how does that prove that it was the vocalization that was the ikar? So Rashi points out, and Tosfos point out that here it doesn't use the word kli. The mechatzotzrim were just for like straight tekiyos. So it wasn't like it wasn't something that had a melody to it. And so these chatzotros were not a kli shira that would have been Doche Shabbos to accompany the melody that was sung by the Levim, or whoever it was that was singing it. And so therefore, since it doesn't have the word kli in there, it's clear that it was the vocalization that was the most important part according to this pasuk. So now the Gemara is going to say, okay, we have two psukim that each point to a different way. What's to say that one's more persuasive than the other? V'idach nami haksiv v'yomer chezkiyo, what's going on, right? This second, the one who holds that the second pasuk proves that it's the vocalization that's most important. What does he do with the first pasuk, which seemed to indicate that the kli was important? So hachi kamer hachel shir Hashem b'pe ayidei kli David melech Yisrael v'sume kala. That it's true that that pasuk talked about instrumentation, but that was just to accompany the and to make it nicer with v'sume kala. That was just to accompany the vocalization. But the important thing, as we see from the second pasuk, was the vocalization, and therefore ikar shira b'pe. V'idach nam yaksiv ayikachad u'machatzatzrim u'mishorim. Well, the person who focused on the first pasuk has to contend with the second pasuk, which made it sound like the vocalization was the important. So he answers, "Hachi kamer mishorim dumyo de mechatzitrim ma mechatzitrim bekliyaf mishorim bekli." This implies that just that they were singing. Again, the ikar shira was the singing. It's just that they were accompanied by kalim, but that wasn't the ikar. That was the That's the idea. Okay, now this Mishnah is a very descriptive Mishnah that's going to discuss what exactly happened at the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, the level of joy. This is a famous Mishnah. Mishnah says, Misha lo ra'a Simchas Beis HaShoeva, lo ra'a Simcha miyamav. Whoever didn't see the Simchas Beis HaShoeva never saw joy, never saw happiness in all his days. This is the precursor to the Macy's jingle, right? If you've never seen, what was it? If you've never seen Macy's, you've never seen Manhattan. I think that was the old, in the 1960s and 70s, that was the Macy's commercial, because Macy's takes up the whole block. If you haven't seen Macy's, you haven't seen Manhattan. So this is Mishal Ra.
Assuming that they have TVs here.
Right. Mishal Ra, Simcha's Beis HaShoeva, Ra, Simcha Miyamav. If you haven't seen the Simcha's Beis HaShoeva, you haven't seen real Simcha. And this is how it worked. B'motzei Yom Tov HaRishon Shel Chag, on the eve, the Motzei Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag, after the first day of Yontif. This was obviously not in Chutz Laaretz, it was where the Beis HaMikdash was, so there was no second day of Yontif, it was the very end of Yontif. Yardu Ezras Nashim, they would go to the Ezras Nashim, which is, we'll see the diagram in a minute when we talk about the succession, but they would go to the Ezras Nashim. U'metaknin Sham Tikun Gadol, they would make a great fix. The Gemara on Amud Beis is going to talk about what this fix is. They made some kind of fix to the structure. But in any event, the Mishnah says, Minoros shel zav hayusham. They had golden minoros, golden candelabras. Ve'arba safalim shel zav birashem. There were four basins of golden basins at the head of the minoros. Varba sulamos l'chol echav yachad, and four ladders going up to them. They were tall. Varba yuladim mipirchei kohanim. There were four young kohanim. Ubiyadeim kadim shomea ve'esrim lug. They would hold pitchers of 120 lug. Shein matilin chol seifel v'seifel, and they would pour oil into each of these basins from those jugs. Mibalae Nichnesei Kohanim Umehem Neyan, and they would use the leftover worn pants of the Kohanim Umehem Neyan, and the Avnatim, the belts of the Kohanim Manhayu Mafkian they would take those and they would rip them up and use them as the torches. Uvahen hayu madlikin, they would light them, and it was such an illumination that v'lohaya chatzar b'Yerushalayim she'ina me'irah me'or beis ha'shoeva, that there was no courtyard in all of Yerushalayim that didn't have some kind of reflection of the light of the Beis HaShoeva. That's how bright the light was coming from the Beis HaMikdash. Chasidim v'anshei ma'isa hayu marakdin bifneim. And various people of high stature would dance in front of them. Bavukos she'or shebiyadeim, with torches in their hands. Rashi points out, Zorkin osam klapi malo, mekablin osam, they would juggle them. V'yesh shebikiyin lasos kain, barbavukos, and Rashi says there were even people that were really good at throwing them up and catching them with four torches, obishmona, and even eight torches. Vizorik zu, mekabel zu, they would do like, you know, a tandem juggling, where they would throw the torches to each other. It was a big celebration. Back in the Mishnah, the Omrim with Nam Divrei Shiros Vistushbachos, they would sing songs, they would sing all sorts of happy things. Valavim Bikinoros, Ubinavalam, Ubmitzlasaim, Uvachatzotros, the Uvim would use harps and lyres and chatzotros, trumpets, etc., all sorts of musical instruments. Uvaklishir Bulamisbar, and all sorts of musical instruments. Now, it's useful if you have the diagram that I sent on the WhatsApp. First of all, this is just a cool diagram. I think I'm going to like print it out for my sukkah. Hmm. It's like an old-fashioned, right? You don't see that anymore. Anyway, so where did they do this all, right? So we said this was in the Ezras Nashim. If you look in the diagram, the Ezras Nashim is the big room on the right? Like the Avoda was done on the Mizbeach, which you could kind of see, right? If you zoom in a little. You see the big area of the you see where the Mizbeach is? It's on the left. And then you had a big wall. That was the Shar Niknor. And then a bunch of steps going down to the Ezras Nashim. So there were 15 steps there. Keneged the 15 Shir HaMaloses. And then the Ezras Nashim is the area on the right with the four rooms off to the sides in the corners. So back in the mission, it says, Al-Chamesh Esrei Malos Hayordim Ezras Yisrael Ezras Nashim. On these 15 steps that would go down from the upper area to the lower area to the Ezras Nashim, Kineged Chamesh Esrei Shir HaMalos Shevet Tehillim. These 15 steps were Kineged, this 15 Shir HaMaloses. Shalehen Levien Omdim Beklishir, that's where the Levim would stand on with their instruments on those steps. The Omrim Shira, they would sing. The Omdu Shnei Kohanim Bishar HaElyon, so you could just picture there, right, by those arches, right? There were two Kohanim that would stand on the higher level. Shiorid Mezras Yisrael Ezras Nashim at the top of the steps, going down from the Ezras Kohanim to the Ezras Nashim. Vishnei Chatzotzros Biadeim, they would have Chatzotzros, trumpets in their hands. Kara HaGever, and in the morning when they would announce, you know, the morning that the sun had risen, Taku Vihiru Vitaku, they would do a Trua, a Tekia, Trua Tekia. Higiu Gamala Asiris, so then, again, they're moving, because this is part of the actual Simchas Beis HaShoeva is for the Nisach HaMayin. So they're going to collect the water from the place outside of the Beis HaMikdash where the water came from. So they would start the procession now. Higil Gumal Asiris, when they made their way down to the 10th stair, so Taku Viru Vitaku, they would blow the shofar again. Higil Azara, Taku Viru Vitaku, when they got down to the Azara, they would do another Chua Tekia, Chua Tekia. There's a Girsir issue, but the point is that when they got down to the floor of the Ezras Nashim, they would blow again. Hayutokin v'holchin, and they would keep on blowing these chatzotzros ad shemagin l'shar hayotzei mimizrach. So if you see, they kept them walking straight until that next gate. That next gate is facing east, right? We're looking so that the right is east. It says mizrach on the right. If you zoom back out, so they would go out that gate. Higiu l'shar hayotzei mimizrach. Once they got outside of the gate, Hafchu Pinea Mimizrach Omar. Then they would turn around and face the Beis HaMikdash again, the Amru, and they said the following, Avo Seinu Shayu B'makom Hazeh, and Rashi says they're pointing out that there were people that lived at the time of the first Beis HaMikdash that were heretics who would worship the sun. So they said, our forefathers, Shayu B'makom Hazeh, that would stand in this very place, who were bad guys, Achoream Elahichal Pinea Kedma, they would stand with their back to the Heichal, and they would be facing east. U'mishtachavim kedon l'shemesh, and they would bow down to the sun. V'anu l'ka einenu. But we, on the other hand, we're turning around specifically to push back against that practice. We're facing the Beis Hamikdash. We're on the right team. We're facing Hashem. We're facing the Beis Hamikdash. That's where our eyes are. Rabbi Yehuda Omer hayu shonim v'omrim anu l'ka l'ka einenu. They would repeat it, and they would say, not just we are for God, but our eyes are for anu l'ka. We are for Hashem l'ka einenu, and our eyes are for Hashem. So they would repeat it. Okay, so that's the end of the Mishnah. That was describing the procession. I think the next Mishnah is going to continue the procession where they would actually get the water, if I'm not mistaken. Or maybe not. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Okay. So then the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, Mishul ra'a simcha beis ha-shoeva, will ra'a simcha miyamav. Whoever never saw this simcha's beis ha-shoeva never saw real joy. Mishul ra'a Yerushalayim b'tifarta, whoever didn't see Yerushalayim in its glory, will ra'a krach nechmad me'olam. He never saw a beautiful city in his life. Mishul ra'a beis ha-migdash b'binyano, someone who never saw the Beis HaMikdash when it was standing, Golra binyan mefur me'olam, never saw a glorious structure in his life. Mahi, what specific Beis HaMikdash are we talking about? Which structure that was so amazing? Amar ba'ivi teim Rav Chista ze binyan Hordas. This was the Herodian temple after Hordas had rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash, after he had improved the Beis HaMikdash. That's the incredible building that we're talking about it. B'mai banya, with what kind of materials did he build it that were so beautiful? Amar Rabba ba'avnei shisha umir mara. He built it with marble and white marble. Ika da'amri ba'avnei shisha kuchla umir mara. There's another opinion is that he built it with blue marble and white marble. Apik safa va'ayel safa. So the way he would pile on the stones is that apik safa, there was a protrusion, meaning one stone would protrude out, the aisle safa, and one stone was indented, meaning he would kind of, what's the word? He would
stagger.
Thank you. Stagger the stones. Kihichi dilakabel sida, in order that they would hold the cement better. David, you know what that means? What, if you stagger the stones, it would hold the cement better?
It's a bond.
So the bond is stronger. But how does that... I'm not sure if why protruding some of the stones would help that. Just, I guess, you're adding variety to it. Yeah, I don't know. Okay. Savar v'mishayin bidahava. And he wanted to plate the whole thing with gold to really make it upscale. But Amru Rabbanan, the Rabbanan said, Shafke, leave it, don't plate it with gold. Dahachi shapir tfei, we like it better with just the stones... Demischazi kadusa diyama, because it looks like waves of the sea. I guess just the aesthetics of it. It was the waves of it made it look nice rather than just one plated. They thought that looked tacky. I guess to plate the whole thing with gold. They liked the way with the natural stone much better. Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Misha. Okay, so now once we're talking about beautiful things, Rabbi Yehuda points out the following: Misha lo ra'a diyul. Whoever didn't see the shul in Alexandria, there was a shul in Alexandria in Mitzrayim that was incredible, that was huge. And if you didn't see that shul, then you didn't really see the true glory of Yisrael. Amru, and they said, Kimin basilka gedola haisa, it was in the structure of a basilica. I tried to look up on the internet last night, like, what is noteworthy about it's like, you know, Roman architecture. The basilica is a specific type of architecture where it's like, I don't know, I'm not a student of architecture, so I wasn't really able to understand what's specifically noteworthy about a basilica, but it was a basilica, shahisa stav lifnim mistav. One of the things that's noteworthy about a basilica structure is that it's straight beams built on colonnades. So that's what's staying here. Stav is a colonnade with nimis stav. So it was like kind of staggered colonnades, or it was multiple rows of colonnades, and that was the nature of this shul. It was built like a basilica with specific Roman architecture, with these columns that come up that hold up the beams. But in any event, pamim shayu ba shishim ribo al shishim ribo. There were times that there were 600,000 plus 600,000 people, like 1.2 million people there. Kiflayim kiotzi Mitzrayim, two times or double the amount of people that left Mitzrayim. So it was a huge shul. It's just it would hold, 1.2 million people. It's hard to imagine. Vayu ba, what was that?
A lot of talking. It's funny that they're saying Yetzei Mitzrayim, but this was in Egypt.
That's right. That is interesting. Yeah.
After we were told not to go back.
Yeah. Well, then we're going to see that. Vayu ba shivim ve'echad katadros shalzav. There were 71 seats of gold. Keneged 71 shel Sanhedri gedola. That was parallel to the 71 members of the Sanhedrin. How many members actually were there in the Sanhedrin?
70.
So it's actually a machlokas. Rashi points out that the very beginning of Sanhedrin says it's a machlokas whether there were 70 members of the Sanhedrin or 71. And Rabbi Yehuda holds that there were 70 members of the Sanhedrin. And it's Rabbi Yehuda talking here. So it's hard to understand, says Tosfos, why were there 71 seats if Rabbi Yehuda himself holds there were only 70 members of the Sanhedrin.
The hedge is bad.
So he was so it says here that one seat was for the Lemuflash of Bezdin, was for the Av Bezdin or whatever. But and then the other 70 represented the Sanhedrin. But in any event, Koachas ve'achas ina pechusa mi'esrim ve'echad ribo kikari zav. Each of these chairs was made of no less than 21,000 talents of gold. Ubima shalitz be'emtza isa. There was a bima in the middle of the shul. The chazan akinesis omid aleha. The chazan would stand on the beam in the middle. The sudrin viado, and he would have handkerchiefs in his hand. Right. The problem was that how would the people in the back hear when it's time to say amen? Mm. It's such a huge, huge shul.
Like a flag.
It was like a flag. So he would hold up this flag. The kaven shiagila lanos amen. When they, when it came time to say amen, hala menif besudar. He would wave the flag. The chala amonim amen, and everyone would answer amen. The yoshvim muravim. So this is fascinating. They didn't just sit haphazardly with, everyone sitting where they wanted to sit. Rather, there were specific areas for the different guilds, for the different professions in the shul. Elazahavin, the goldsmiths, Bifnei Atzman, they would sit on their own. Uksafin Bifnei Atzman, the silversmiths would sit in their specific section. Vinafachim, the blacksmiths, would Bifnei Atzman in their specific section. Vitarsiyim, the coppersmiths, they would Bifnei Atzman in their section. Vigardiyim, the weavers, Bifnei Atzman in their section. And what was the purpose of this? Was it to talk?
Segregation.
It was. Why were they segregating? The answer is because of the following. Kisha'ani nichnas sham. Let's say a poor person or a guy starting off his career wanted to get involved in a specific trade. So hayamakir baliumna. So he knew which section to sit in, and this was a way of him socializing with the people, and getting a summer job. He would show up in the blacksmith section if he wanted to be a blacksmith. Venifna l'sham, and he would go there. Umisham parnasaso or parnasas anche beso, and that's the way he would build his parnasa. He would kind of get in with the people. It's a fascinating kind of description of the shul as not just a place to daven, but of a place to get jobs, and to kind of, it was the mainstay, it was the center of the community. This is where people would find people to network with. Okay, Amar Abai, v'kugu katlinhu alexandrin muktan. Alexander killed, this is a huge amount of people, but he says there was some kind of terrible genocide that went on here, that Alexander of Macedonia killed all these people. My time, Ianshu, why were they killed? Why were they punished? Mishum de'avru ahaykra, because they violated the pasuk, lo sosifin lashuv b'derech hazeh. Oh, they went back to Egypt where they weren't supposed to be. Inu hadur asu, and they went and they lived there. Now it's describing the specific incident where Alexander killed them. Kiasa, when Alexander came, Ashkechinu davu karu b'sifra, Yisa Hashem alecha goy meirachok. So he saw that they were reading. Is that what it is? He saw that they were reading. Mm-hmm. the pasuk of Yisrael Hashem Alkecha Goy Mirachok, that a, you know, a Gentile will come from far away and he will, you know, torment you. Amar michti ahu gavra bayomesei. So Alexander said to himself, I'm that guy, right? I must be that guy, he said. Why? Bayomesei svinasa ba'asara yumi. The journey that would normally take 10 days by boat, dalya zeka va'asi svinasa b'chamisha yumi. I experienced that journey in 5 days because the wind came. So that shows that kind of, I'm a great person, Hashem is behind me. I must be the person that's referred to in that pasuk when it says a great man will come. And so therefore, Nafal, he took you know, comfort from that, or he took, you know, he was emboldened by that. And Nafal alayu v'katlinu, he came upon them and he killed them. That was the story of the Jews of Alexandria. Okay.
Of the old synagogue?
I have no idea. I don't know. I assume not. I don't know. It's interesting. I mean, it must have been a huge, huge structure.
It's got to be.
Yeah.
To hold a million people.
Yeah. Okay. Now let's just finish off the Mishnah. If you remember, it said that they would, on Motze Yontif, they would go to the Ezras Nashim, umetaknin sham tikun gadol. They would make some like important structural change. So the Gemara says, what is this talking about? My tikkun gadol. What was this change? Was it a change in the structure, a change in their practice? So Amar Rabbi Elazar, Kosa Shoshaninu, we learned, Chalaka Haisa Barishona. The walls of the Ezras Nashim, that part of the Beis HaMikdash that we just looked at, were smooth originally. Veikifua Gezustra, and what did they do? They put beams or like pegs in the walls so that it was no longer smooth. Vitkinush Yunashim Yoshvos Milmala. Basically they built bleachers at the edge of the Ezras Nashim, and they would have the women stand on top of the bleachers, Valnashim Milmata, and the men were on the bottom. And then we're gonna have a different account of this or a similar account to this. Tanarabanam. Barishona, in the beginning, Hayu Nashim Mi Bifnim Vanashim Mechutz. In the beginning, the women were on the floor in the middle, and then the men were on the outskirts of it. Vayu Bon, we did Kalas Rosh. That wasn't very tzniastic. The men would watch the women. It was not an appropriate atmosphere. It would lead to Kalas Rosh. It would lead to frivolousness. And so therefore, they made a takana. Itkinu Shiyu Nashim Yoshvos Mi Bachutz Vanashim Mi Bifnim. So they switched it. They put the men in the middle, the women on the outskirts, so the men would be less likely, I guess the men were focused inward, they would be less likely to be distracted by the women on the outside. That wasn't good enough, however. Adai no yubayin, vide kalos rosh, it still led to frivolousness, and so therefore, itkinu, they made a takanish yu nashim yoshvos milamala, that's when they built these bleachers, and they would have the women sit up above, vanashim milamata, and the men down below to keep them separate. And the Gemara is going to challenge that, and we're going to deal with the challenge of the next daf. Gemara says, "Hechi avid hachi." How did they do that? How did they make a tikkun to the Beis Hamikdash? V'aksiv hakol b'ksav miyad Hashem alay haskil. The pasuk says in Divrei Yamim that you're not supposed to deviate from the blueprint of, as Rashi points out, that God told that Nasan Anavi and God told the Shlomo Melech how to build the Beis Hamikdash. You're supposed to follow the blueprint. Here they're improvising on the structure, so we'll have to deal with that next stop.
Okay, yeah. Is that why most Ezra's Nashim's are on the second?
Maybe that's the, yeah, that's interesting. It's the,
I would like to say Kaddish. Can you say Rabbi Chanan?
Yeah, Rabbi Chanan and Akash, we have a minion?
Yes, exactly.
Ratzah Kaddish Baruch Hu Zach Yisrael L'fichach Hira Wem Zohar Mitzvah Shem Ar Nanei Chavitz L'man Zitkov Yagdil Terav Yadir.
Amen. 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 Am